This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Southampton and make a decent opportunity here. Look at the space for Barkley. Perhaps he should have scored. Certainly Tom Cleverley should have done better. Sheeda in reach. To Barkley, and Barkley has options to his right. He has options to his left. He has options down the middle. And Romelu Lukaku was a brilliant option. And Everton double their leads on the stroke of half-time through Romelu Lukaku. Another well-executed move by Everton has proved the undoing of Southampton. That is a really good finish, but Barkley's ball, excellent. Lukaku's finish, top draw, and Everton are 2-0 to the good. Everton are just edging closer to 3 points here. Here's Lukaku. Bowen. Barkley cuts inside. Beautiful! 3 points in the bag for Everton, and Ross Barkley has put the icing on the cake for the Toffees. Excellent play by Coleman. Barkley cuts inside, picks his spot, and curls it towards goal. And there's surely no way back now for Southampton.
Hello and welcome to the latest Everton Fan Focus podcast. It's the first one of the season, and tonight I'm joined by Mark and Ben Ellis.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Also known as the Mitchells.
Affectionately known.
So we've just sat through the highlights from the Southampton game at the weekend there, lads. Fantastic win, wasn't it?
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. It was like we just took a chapter out of the sort of season before last and gone right back to what we did best under Martinez, wasn't it? It was a team full of purpose, a team who had a plan and executed it perfectly. It was great to to see the 11 players play well for a start. You know, I couldn't follow anybody in that team, to be honest. It was just brilliant to see Everton sort of, we've had a lot of clouds hanging over the club. That just blew it away for 90 minutes and took us all back to that, the happiness land that we haven't been to quite often.
Definitely. Do you agree, Ben? It was a collective performance, wasn't it? Although individuals stood out.
It was. Everyone was 10 out of 10. Even Tim Howard made a couple of great saves. And Barkley put in a performance. You seem to forget with Ross Barkley that even though we went through a bad period last season, we've still got a major talent. And if he can do that, then he's a £50 million player. He was unbelievable.
Starting to become a man, really, isn't he? You can see that in the past couple of games.
Yeah.
And this could be really his season to make an impression. I think he would have been disappointed. I mean, we were all disappointed last season with everyone's performance, really. But Barkley, he struggled with confidence, didn't he? He had the fans on his back. And I think with his goal against Watford and his performance and goal against Southampton, he'd take a lot of confidence from that now, won't he?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Amazingly, he sort of matched his last season's tally on assists and goals inside the first two games. You know, yeah. He only had two assists all last season, two goals. But he's looking a player who's finally emerging from all that, doesn't he? I think he's had a good, maybe the coaching team have done well with him over the summer. We don't see what goes on, but he certainly looks to have broader shoulders this time around, doesn't he? You know, he's certainly got the talent. We all know he's got the talent. If he can get it right, then anything's, you know, it's going to help go bold well for us this season.
Well, it's the first podcast of the season, lads.
Yeah, it is.
So, which means we've got to talk about the Watford game as well. We can't just completely ignore the first game of the season, though, can we?
No.
But it was probably not the best start of the season, but I think we all expected Watford to come and have a real go. The promoted sides usually do, don't they, Ben?
Yeah, they do. They've nothing to lose. They know Everton, who haven't strengthened majorly. Dinofor was injured for the game, so he was only cleverly making his debut. And Watford knew that if they could get at Everton, get the first goal, the confidence snaps and the fans get straight on. And they did that, and I thought they were terrific for 45 minutes. Yeah, we were.
Everton looked back to, it almost looked like nothing had changed.
Yeah.
In that first 45, especially.
Yeah.
As you said about the atmosphere in Goodison, Ben, it's toxic, isn't it?
It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. And I think that first 45 minutes, we were all sort of worried to think, oh, is it going to be another season of this? But, I mean, defensively, I thought we were a bit shaky. And they took the lead on 13 minutes. That Leon scored, didn't he? And what did you make of the goal?
It just looked like one big mess, didn't it, in the box. It was a good ball in, but it stuck. I think Jags got, there was confusion, wasn't there, about, you know, clear trying to clear the ball. They come off Jags, and to be fair to the lad, he smashed it home. There wasn't much Howard could do about it. But it was basically just looked a lot of confusion in the box, and Watford took advantage of that, didn't they, as soon as the ball came in.
It took us an hour to get ourselves sorted, didn't it?
And yeah.
Barkley, it was 76 minutes when Barkley scored, and it was a huge relief, wasn't it?
It was, it was Kone who changed the perception, who changed the whole dynamic of the game, because Watford had two strikers to deal with.
Yeah.
And Coney's hold up play, whatever they say about Coney, he's great on the ball, and he can hold the ball up and lay it off, and he did that. And Ross, straight out of nowhere, fabulous strike into the top corner. Yeah, and from then on, I thought we were going to win. We were going to go on and win.
Well, we had the momentum, didn't we? I agree about Coney changing the game. I thought he did. He got the assist for Barkley, didn't he? But Barkley, what a strike that was. I mean, he's got that in his locker. He showed that before.
Yeah,
but we just didn't see it as many times as we'd like in the past 18 months. It was a great goal. And then we levelled. I agree. I felt like we were going to go on. But Igalo went up to the end, and it was a bit of a fast, that goal, wasn't it?
But there was like a Grand Canyon style chasm between the midfield and the defence. Martinez admitted that the positioning was all wrong from a team point of view for that goal, wasn't it? But Igalo showed why he was so deadly in the Championship last season, didn't he? I think he's one of them players that'll sort of naturally adjust to the Premier League. He sold Stones, told him to go to the shop for a pint of milk, didn't he, on a couple of occasions, and finished it great, and it was a good finish. But you know, that goal should never have happened. There was far too much space between the midfield. We'd overcommitted by the looks, haven't we, on attack. Trying to win the game, which is understandable. But the lad took it well, and at that point, there was depression, which had been there all pre-season, have now sort of shown its reality.
Well, it was the like relief that we got with the Barkley goal just washed away, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you thought to yourself, oh, an opening day defeat, you know, we haven't played too well. What are we actually going to do this season? But thankfully, within 3 minutes,
yeah,
that man, Aruna Kone, the hero, rising from the fume. Tucker's got a well, though, didn't he?
It was a fabulous finish.
When he went through on goal, there was no one who expected that to go in. It was just, you know, I'm sort of setting ourselves up for a save or maybe the keeper will parry it. Absolutely clinical, wasn't it? You know, it was a top draw finish. The keeper didn't smell it. And I thought he linked up with that. Well, Lukaku in that instant looked a lot happier with someone around him, didn't he? You know, and I think Lukaku would probably say that Kone does a lot. You know, he plays better when he's with someone. And then two seems to gel in a strange sort of way, don't they? You know, Kone has critics, a lot of critics, but no, they linked up well, great finish, and it was just a shame that onslaught didn't really happen after it, did it? We didn't manage to get up ahead of steam.
There wasn't enough time left, really, was there? But no. I think we'd all agreed there with Kone's impact. And I think after the game, when you look at that, you think it wasn't a vintage Evan performance, you know, by any stretch, but Kone and Barkley are two players who thrive on confidence and scoring goals, especially Kone. You know, he's like being a nobody, hasn't he? Let's be honest, since he's been here. And to see him get a goal, celebrating, and then Barkley, after the season he's had, lack of confidence, getting a goal, glad to see it end, you think they can only build on that.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's like, you know, two key issues that look like they're getting addressed, don't they? You know, a confident Ross Barkley is going to help this team enormously. And Conley, while I still think we need a better option to Lukaku up front, I can't just change your mind after two games, but I think if Conley persists at this level all season, then it goes well for the competition for places, doesn't it? So Lukaku doesn't get complacent, or whoever comes in. You know, if Conley's biting at the bit to constantly get in the team, then that's only can only be good for us, can't it? You know, just hope. I'm pleased for the lad. I hope he does. I really hope he turns it around.
It's surprising, isn't it? Surprising that we're actually talking about Conley having an impact.
Yeah, it's like you say, Mark, he's been nowhere in the squad, you know. He's just been one of those players, you think, I hope he gets some running games, but he had a running games last season and did nothing. He scored one against Newcastle, I think. And you're thinking, and the pre-season games, did nothing to say this player's changing whatsoever. And then all of a sudden,
in fact, he looked awful in pre-season, didn't he, to be honest?
Yeah, he hasn't offered nothing, hasn't he? Even as you say, when he got back in the side last year, he doesn't offer much, does he?
Yeah.
But in that, the game against Watford and obviously the Southampton game, which we'll come to, He's looked fit, he's looked hungry, and he's looked ready. And as you said, that'll provide competition, especially in the attacking areas. You know, if he's deployed a bit further back, then Della Forum, Morales and that, McGeady, it's much more competition for them, isn't it?
It looks like we've got all kinds of options again all of a sudden, doesn't it? Rather than we've got no one behind Lukaku, we've got, you know, and you're right, with him, Kone playing well also offers up more from a tactics point of view. We can set up differently, can't we? Or we can, you know, explore different options if we're trying to break teams down. It just helps the whole team. It does. If he's playing well and wanting to make an impact.
So it wasn't the best start, and obviously a lot of fans have said nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Too many midfielders, the lack of signings and all that. But we then had Southampton, and, you know, everyone's looking at the fixtures, and Southampton's got to be one of the toughest places to go to in the Premier League now, isn't it? I don't know about you boys, but I feared the worst going into the game. I thought, you know what, if we get beat here, or, you know, get another draw, because we've started slowly under Roberto last two seasons.
We have
drawn. We've drawn our opening
three games, first
season, and then drawn the opening two the last season. But I feared it, especially with Southampton, because they're a good side.
And it's been a graveyard for us in the past few years. They've absolutely wiped the floor with us there, haven't they? It was good to see us go there with sort of no, there was no fear, there was a clear plan as well, which hasn't always been the case with Martinez lately. It looks like he's been winging it for quite a long time, doesn't he? You know, but there was an absolute clear method of thinking behind that performance, and it was executed perfectly. It was just fantastic to watch.
It wasn't it? Just going back to that record there, remember last season when we got beat 3-0?
It was a stark contrast to last season. I almost felt from the end of the Watford game, the last 15 minutes, when Everton were in the incident, you know, they got back into the game and all that, and it changed, and they carried it on right into the Southampton game. They were brilliant. Yeah.
And it was, as you said, the pressure was on, and we had all the stuff about the protests. We'll come to that. We'll discuss the protests. I know you'll be chomping at the bit to do that, Mark, but we'll discuss them a bit later. But the pressure was on, wasn't it? You know, slow start, not many signings, fan protests for off-field issues. But, you know, Everton travelled well in numbers, as they always do. It was a nice sunny day. And the goals flew in, didn't he, from the off, and it was great. It was actually refreshing to see Everton playing with a smile. Yeah, and the fans with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, it was a big adjustment from constant fume to absolute elation, which, you know, and I know, like, a lot of people say, oh, don't go overboard, it's one win. But the level of anxiety and frustration that's been going on since pre-season, you know, I think we're entitled to a day where we just allowed to feel great about Everton. That was just one of them days. Thought Martinez was absolutely, his tactics were nailed on there. You know, the way he put, sort of, he gave Barry almost like a day off there, didn't he? He put him back. Barry didn't, although he still covered more ground than anyone, but he didn't have to do as, you know, cover as much ground and that. And that's when you've seen the best of Cleverley and Barkley in there. I just thought his tactics were just spot on. I couldn't fault it.
Well, we needed a boost, didn't we? Let's be honest. We needed a boost, even if you're just saying it's just 3 points, but we badly needed a boost.
Yeah.
We all know what's going on off the pitch. We all know about the signings. You know, we signed Elofoe Cleverley early on in the summer. We felt like we've had no good news since.
I agree.
Even pre-season, you know, I know people don't read into it too much, but it wasn't much to excite us.
No.
What was the thinking? Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. There's nothing to make us feel upbeat at the moment. And then that performance, I think, it really hit home that we are a really good side. We just need a kick up the arse at times, and when we get in our stride, we could be unplayable.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Southampton looked like they couldn't live with us at times. Could they? You know, when Lukaku plays like that, if he fancies playing like that all season, he's on for 35 goals, isn't he? You know,
he was unplayable.
Absolutely, you know, lovely gesture at the start when he hit that woman in the face and then went into the crowd, and that was lovely. But also, showed on the pitch, he showed absolutely no remorse whatsoever, did he? When there was that run after about 5 minutes that showed you that Lukaku was up for this.
Well, he got it, didn't he? And just see him, the power in that
about
run.
50-yard run. It was almost Thierry Henry, like the way he powered past about three people who just left them all for dead.
It looked like a 10-A doing a 3-point turn at first, when he sort of took it down a player.
Yeah.
But once he got into his stride, but we all know Lukaku's at his best when he's running against, not when he's holding up, not when he's got back to goal, feeding people in. Don't get me wrong, he likes to play the football now and again, but he's at his best when he... Remember that goal against Arsenal the other season when we beat them 3-0?
Oh,
and he came in, he cut in and slotted it. I think that was classic Lukaku then.
It's when there's no thinking involved, it's all natural, isn't it? You know, it's what comes to him to the best. And like you say, you know, again, that's a tactic Roberto hasn't really used a lot since then, but like Lukaku is at his best, and defenders are at their worst when he's running at them.
Yeah,
they just, you know, nobody would want that sight running on him, and he backed it up with quality, didn't he? It wasn't just, you know, running down blind alleys. Everything had a purpose to it, you know.
So I thought, I mean, just speaking of Lukaku, the opening goal, Ben.
Yeah.
What did you make of that? I mean, it was
fantastic. A great breakaway.
It actually came though from a Southampton chance.
A Southampton corner, headed away. Barkley picked it up, and what was surprising, not for me, but from last season, was the amount of players Everton had going forward. There was 5-on-3 at one point. It was Cleverley, and it was lost back on the ball.
Galloway.
Coney. Galloway was forward in the far left hand position. It was brilliant. And what a ball in!
I know with Coney there, you're like, oh, Coney's on right wing. To be honest, when a lot of people seen that team sheet, they were made to be humble pie in the end. But I personally, I was happy to see two strikers on the pitch, but I thought, where's the width coming from? But he's using Cleverley.
Very cleverly.
To sound like a bit of a tool, but he is though, isn't he? Because he used him and Kone and Barkley, the interchange, the way they moved around.
The way their movement created the width, whereas on a piece of paper, it looks like there's no width whatsoever in that team.
Well, you know yourself, you've got Brendan Galloway, you've got Seamus Coleman, they like to get forward.
Yeah.
There's Galloway, you know, if it's Galloway, Garbutt, Oviedo, or Baines, they all like to get forward. So I think that's where he's going to see the width coming from, and he's going to compact the midfield and press high when we go forward. And it was a great ball in, wasn't it? I thought he's gonna put this out for a goal kick. Yeah, Coney.
Oh, straight into the goalie's arms. This is going straight into.
And then we're all on Twitter saying, "Oh yeah, he's shit. He scored the goal last week, but he done well. He put it on a sixpence, and it was a great header.
Fantastic header, right the other way, very much Duncan like the way he's planted it the other side of the corner. Very Duncan
like. Like a goal of the 1980s, wasn't it? It's not like a modern day goal. I don't know.
Was there a goal Duncan Ferguson scored away at like Norwich or someone when we beat them 3-2? Who was that against?
Yes.
And the ball came in and he nodded it back across, didn't he?
The keeper.
Similarities to the Lukaku goal, but I agree, Ben. It was like Ferguson. And Lukaku's not the most prolific in the air, is he? But he done really well for that.
They're always the best looking goals then, the ones that can't go back the way they came.
With the striker running
the
in.
The keeper looks a fool, wrong footed, you know, and it's, you know, he beat two Southampton defenders for that as well, didn't he? You know?
There was no looking back after that though, was there?
No.
No looking back. I mean, we had the chance soon after.
Yeah, two great chances.
But Kone sort of come deep, bit of football, Barkley was eventually put it by Lukaku after some interchange. He should have scored.
He was all on his own. I couldn't believe he was all on his own. And he missed. And then Clever had an even better chance to slot it in.
He had too much time and he just fluffed it, didn't he?
Yeah. Barkley should have buried that. It was, you know, he had left and right to aim for the goal and would have resulted in 2-0. But, you know, that was a slight kind of a blemish. Maybe on his perfect day, but, you know, we can't really...
When you go to a place like Southampton and you created that much inside 10 minutes, you know you're going to have a good day against them with Lukaku in that form.
But I think that represented how our play was, because Kone came deep and took the ball off Barry. Coleman was involved, I think. Lukaku got it. He then slotted in Barkley, who'd moved into a central forward position, or a number 10 arriving. And Cleverley was up there as well. It was like, how many bodies do we want to get forward? This is great to watch.
Where's the mentality change? It's come from training in midweek. All season, probably all of last season, all pre-season, we've got like an old man sort of getting off the bus.
Yeah.
And against Southampton, like it was like, yeah, like myself, sciaticus kicked in. It's getting better. But after Saturday, it looked like, you know, you might give you 50 quid and told you to go out and have a ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just look totally free of any restraint. I mean, that's when we play our best football. I don't think it's rocket science.
I think we surprise Southampton. And I think Southampton probably do the same to different teams, don't they? And they have done. They're a good side. Coleman's a good manager. They've got good players.
Yeah.
And I think they've done what we've done to them on Saturday over the past two seasons or two and a half or whatever. Yeah. And they've surprised a few people. But we did that when Roberto first came. We attacked with fluidity, didn't we? Interchange and passing.
Yeah, and menace. Yeah. Genuine sort of desire to go and hurt the opposition, which is sort of Roberto's trademark.
Do you remember the derby? We had about five breakaways where we were clean through one leg all about five times. Just De La Foe and Morales.
Maybe.
And,
yeah.
Sort of, they were just...
Yeah,
the reckless, three-all derby.
The three-all game. Reckless abandon is maybe our best policy under Martinez, because we did it better than most teams.
When we try and be too nicey-nicey, we get bullied.
Yeah, and yeah, they're not. Yeah, you're right. And playing with pace and committing them forward brings out the sort of the talent in our players, doesn't it? You know,
slow build
up plays. I'm not gonna. We've become far too predictable. I don't know. You know, obviously some good work's going on in the training ground. You have to give Martinez credit for all the slagging that he's had. You have to give him full credit for that. That was a masterclass.
I know we've all been outspoken against him, haven't we? You know, we all have, and you know, a lot of people have. I've lost complete faith in him, and I don't think they'll ever get it back after last season. But, you know, I'd like to think that the lad can still do a job for us, and I've got faith in him.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's just, you know, it was hard to keep any faith at all last season with a lot of his decision-making and some of the stuff he comes out with. But yeah, they do, all of them deserve praise, even Tim Howard, who, you know, I love. he you know, he made a couple of great saves. He did. And he kept the score down, kept a clean sheet.
And they were, at the time, they were key saves because the game was goals, when particularly that Mane saved.
That was Coleman messing around, wasn't
yeah.
it?
And Mane, who's, I think he's a terrific player for San Antonio, so I like Mane a lot. But that was going in, and it would have going a goal down in a game like that changes the whole sort of, you know, the game plan, doesn't it? So key saves, yeah, no full credit. And Howard, what I liked about him, there was no fuss, there was no drama, there was no
high fiving himself,
no high fiving, there's absolutely no starch whatsoever.
What did he say?
He said to you at the end, he was almost embarrassed because the interviewer was asking him about the saves. He goes, "Well, that's my job. I've got to do them. Yeah. I've got to save those."
Well, you'd expect to keep it to do that. On a regular basis.
Looks like quite a few people have had a slap this week, then maybe, and now we've got the benefits on the side.
Maybe they're reading Twitter.
I hope they're not reading that.
I said a slap, not a beatdown.
If they read your Twitter, they'll be getting a transfer. Throwing in a transfer request. Yeah.
Been trying to get them in with the, you know, trying to get players to come in, but it's not working.
But it was great, and from the off really, and just talk us through the second goal then, lads. It was I thought
it was great.
He was showed real enthusiasm.
I just thought it was one of my I could wax lyrical about that goal all day long. If you look at Lukaku's movement from coming off the centre circle, a real lung busting desire to get into that box and cause you know, make a difference. Barkley's pass was just, the weight of that ball was perfect.
It was underrated as well.
Oh, do you know what? No one's ever mentioned it, but the weight of that ball, and I know it was a simple pass to make, but Lukaku did not have to break stride. It was gorgeous. You love your football. That's just a fantastic goal to watch.
Yeah.
It didn't have to break stride. Swept it home. The keeper didn't even smell it.
Barkley's ball.
Them two really, you know, we underestimate their partnership, don't we? If they get it going, then we'd forget anyone else. Them two are integral to us being successful, I think. When they get it going, there's very, you know, we're definitely the best combination we've got, I think.
Barkley's ball, it reminded me of Beardsley. You know,
it was
exactly where he's doing, knows where the striker is. And for that moment, that ball,
and it went into,
and he knew the striker was going to finish.
Yeah, the ball went into a crowded area, but it was with sort of
between two jumps.
I know, like, it looked a simple pass, but I think it was a fantastic ball, and you know,
it was just swept home with such fluidity, and you know, the first goal had such an attack and counter attack and sense to it, but that second one we cut right through Southampton with just a matter of passes, and I think that was very much Everton, Lukaku, and Barkley at the best.
The ironic thing about that goal is we were all crying out, why wasn't the sort of team that was happy for width? And that goal was bang, 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 right down the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
It was like an Arsenal goal, wasn't it, when they're at the best? It was that type of move, you know. Mm. And also Lukaku's desire to win the ball back off the halfway line and then link up with, you know, that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah. I know, it's just, I think, though, with them two, Lukaku and Ross Barkley, there's others like Delafoe as well, Morales, and obviously Kone, putting Kone into the mix now. You can tell that they enjoy playing with each other, they know each other's games, and that's just not what we saw enough of last season. Although Lukaku got 20 goals, we just didn't see enough of the free-flowing creative play. And I think we know we've got good young lads there, good creative young lads who can tear any team apart. So to see it in full motion on Saturday, I was sitting there made up with it, absolutely made up, and especially for Ross, because I think this is just going to do in the world a good this start of the season. Because I know Lukaku, some fella who sitting next to me against the Watford said to me, "Oh, I see Lukaku had a poor first 45 minutes, probably a poor goal by his poor game by his standards."
Yeah,
this fella said, "Oh, I see Lukaku's still shit," and I thought, "Well, you can be shit but still get 20 goals a season, can't you?"
Yeah,
I it doesn't sit well with me, the criticism of Lukaku.
No,
people call him a lazy soul and so on that. But
but if you remember when the shit was really hitting the fan, if you pardon me, like, you know, then if Lukaku was one of the few players to stand up and really sort of put in performances, didn't he? You know, when things were really...
But he kept scoring throughout that season.
Yeah.
He kept scoring. I know a lot of it came in Europe, but He kept dragging us through.
We've been saying we need a 20-goal striker. We've been saying it for so long. We get one, and you know, we tend to not be a completely happy bunch when we're not impressed with his work rate. Yeah. He just showed what he can do. You know,
he's got two goals and an assist in his opening two games.
And I looked up his stats: 39 goals in 83 games, which is one every two almost.
The way I see them, Ross Barkley and Kone and Lukaku, is they're going to carry on playing like that. They're like the support, you know, the centrepiece of our forefront of our attack. Delofoe, Morales, Cleverley, they're like the supporting cast who are just going to push up. And then behind that, you've got another section of your McCarthy, your Barry, your Mo Bezic.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Forget about Mo Bezic, yeah. I mean,
those sort of players behind who are like the buffer.
But you can
and
see
then you've
now,
got the defence.
Yeah,
That's the difference when our best players are playing at the top of the game. All of a sudden, we look like we've got options all over the park. You know,
at times on Saturday, we reverted from the four at the back to the three with Barry slotting in centre half with the two full backs going right forward. And that's the way you've got to use Barry. You can't have him in the middle of the pitch getting swamped. He needs to be right next to the centre half
with the game in front of him so he can read it. And he's coming for criticism, Barry. But I read
he was great on Saturday.
I read a stat though, Ben. He's covered the most ground in both games.
Yeah.
But you think you see him as like the water carrier or whatever it is in the middle. But you don't realise how many yards he's I think we all don't realise.
He just looks like he struggles from getting from A to B, doesn't he, you know? But it's I don't, you know, but he done fantastic on Saturday. And I think Cleverley in there offers so much more than, you know, he's a really good signing, if you ask me. He just offers a lot of presence in there. And I like the fact that not one ball goes sideways or back, it's always forward.
Yeah.
He's always trying to pick a pass out and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna continue to improve and probably, you know, be a standout performer. I just think he's, you know, a natural fit, isn't he, for us?
I think so. I think it's clear why we've signed him.
Yeah.
Not everyone's cup of tea. Not a player we want to get excited about, but I'm not saying I've been proved right, but I said when he signed, I'm hopeful this lad's going to play a key role. I'm expecting him to be heavily involved, like Barry has been since he signed him. There's a certain label of like an experienced Premier League player. Yeah. Although Tom Cleverley is nowhere near as old as Gareth Barry, you can just tell why we've signed him, why he's in the side. And
he's arguably stood out more than McCarthy at the start of the season, hasn't he? And you know, McCarthy, I know, had a little rant about him after Villa, you know, but he's a fantastic player. So it just again waters the mouth for when McCarthy gets his, you know, gets back in his usual game when he starts imposing himself on teams. You know, we do look a bit of a frightening outfit when everything's clicking.
We do. And that's the most frustrating thing, isn't it? When we perform.
That's it. I mean, like we said about Cleverley, it was. What I love about Cleverley is he's obviously wanted to become an Everton player for a long time. Villa was never in his thoughts, even though he was there all season.
Villa was like
he's happy to swap Villa and come and play. You can see the vital role that he's got to play at Everton. We won't get overrun with a Tom Cleverley ferreting about like a rabbit, you know.
He looks so disappointed when it doesn't come off as well, which I think he's obviously desperate to do well. And the goals we scored, he was always up there and involved. Yeah. Wanting to get a goal himself because he hasn't scored that many goals over the years. But I think Roberto said to him, I want you to get goals. I want you to be part of that support and act for the ones up front who are doing the business.
I think he wanted real manners wanted to create like a dream team going, you know, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Where a stellar front four or five where we're always going to be in with a shout of winning games no matter how we're playing. You know, that's how I think how he wants to go. I don't know how it looks that way. But
he wants a mixture and he wants graft. He wants energy, he wants raw talent like Barkley, he wants the powerhouse, that's Lukaku.
Pace with Delofoe.
Kone is a different sort of striker.
Yes.
Delofoe, Morales are the tricksters. Then, you know, we'll see a role for Lloris and Pienaar and that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's very different options of breaking teams down.
When you talk about that, though, the final third of the pitch, you forget about everything else and you're like, that's one hell of a standard.
And then we've been screaming, we need another striker also, and we do. So, you know, again, if they get it, they've got to get it right in the transfer window now, in the last few weeks or days, whatever it is. Because this group of players deserves to be sort of supplemented with more quality.
Complemented,
Yeah, definitely. Please.
Well, we'll have a look at the transfer window in the next part. But before we get to that, we've got the Barkley goal as well, which was equally as impressive. I think in the second half we went a bit flat, didn't we? Southampton made one or two changes.
Yeah.
You know, it slowed down the game, but I thought we still looked comfortable. We never looked really threatened. There was a couple of chances, wasn't there? Mane forced a chance from Howard, Pele, a couple Slap of half chances. But there wasn't anything where you thought Southampton got a goal back here, we could be in for it. But
didn't feel anxious at all in that second half. No, you know, Southampton upped it a little bit, as you would expect a team 2-0 down at half time. They did up the tempo, but they looked always capable of hitting them on the break if maybe they got a goal back or whatever. Yeah. I always thought we had another gear to move up, which showed with the third goal, really.
Yeah. It looked, if we could defend properly, you've got a chance every time against them on the break, because they're committing far too many men forward. Yeah. Definitely.
And that's it. And I think they knew that, Southampton, didn't they? If they pressed too hard or too high, we'll hit them again.
And they knew they weren't playing well enough. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, the game was up for them pretty much by half time, to be honest with you. Yeah. Such was Everton's, I think, general dominance that, you know, Everton were playing great, and they knew we were up for it on the counter attack. Maybe they were indecisive about what to do, and it was a bit of a quiet second half. Really. I mean, had a good shot, and with Howard tipping it around the post. But apart from that, there was no, you know, you could have. There was a lot of inactive.
Particularly with the way Stones and Jagielka could play. Nothing was getting past them.
They just marshalled them, didn't they? Yeah.
Just magnificent again.
He's in a class of his own, Stones, though, isn't he? But later on, I remember seeing Barkley in front of our fans, and he jinked past one of the Southampton players and put a ball across.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest lad, is he, Barkley? But he's got his body in front and a bit of trick. And I thought, this lad's thriving on it. Yeah, he's thriving on it. And all our fans are rolling him on. And then, obviously, was it the 84th minute?
Yeah, 5 minutes from time, roughly.
You know, again, interchange passing. You could watch that goal all day, couldn't you? Coleman, it was, wasn't it?
Coleman, on the edge of the penalty area, a right back. Yeah. Laying it off to a central midfielder.
And then, that was Lukaku, was.
Well, but eventually
got it. It was a 1-2 with Lukaku and Coleman passed it to Barkley. I knew it was going in, and you could tell the way his foot was getting wrapped around that ball.
You could have hit it first time, but composure again, shimmy, put the defender and buried it, and he was in front of our fans, and you can just see what it means to him. And even when he's speaking after the game, and that he praised the fans, but it's almost like he's becoming a man. It's the boy becoming a man, and absolutely, he's maturing, and you know, he can become Everton, Mr. Everton, if you know what I mean. He can be the one in front of the press.
We don't know.
The one playing for England, the one driving this team on.
We don't know if the Rooney thing has maybe had an impact on him, where, you know, he could be so much, you know, he could be a lot, so much better than Rooney for the fact that he's going to stick around longer for a start, but also he could be that person. You don't know, do you? Maybe that's it, or maybe just, you know,
I thought that last week.
He just thinks maybe that could be me, that I could be that person.
Yeah.
You know, that hope for them. And he's got, and like Lukaku was saying this week, bigging him up, said he should be doing a lot better because he's got it all. Yeah. You know, and that's going to help him, definitely.
I thought that last week when I saw Rooney playing for Everton was arguably the most surreal thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And you could see Barkley, it's like he loved playing with a player like Rooney because he's equally brilliant players. And you just think, he wants to say, I want to do a...
And the best thing is,
a better impact than what Rooney had at Everton.
The best thing is, he's not like a Mark Noble at West Ham, where he's, you know, he wants to play for the club. He's limited in ability.
Class.
This fella can be who he wants to be at the club he loves playing for. If he can get his head right, the sky's the limit, definitely.
I think, though, even, you know, he's like a bit of a rabbit in the headlights in the past when he came in front of the cameras, and that's one thing I've noticed that others may have not noticed, the way he's speaking. And, you know, Scousers are quite bad, aren't they? I mean, I must say, and all that on this about 1,000 times, but you don't, because he's a Wolf. But Ross, like Ben Rooney did, I think Rooney, after Ferguson's testimonial, right?
Yeah.
Rooney reminded me of Barkley.
Yeah, more interviews than touches.
Whereas Rooney, I think, has probably had a bit of elocution. He, you know, he's England captain. You know, he's had to speak. But to me, it was like he didn't know what to say after Ferguson's one.
I think Rooney just felt awkward.
Yeah, he did. Simple. He probably did.
Yeah.
But Barkley this season, it's only a small thing, you know. But he's more confident in front of the cameras. The club are managing him well. Yeah. Put him in front of the cameras, give him confidence. He's scoring goals. As you said, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and he's got all the ability to do it as well. You're right. It's a little thing, but it reflects on. It's been reflecting in his performances. He's looked a lot more mature. He's looked. hasn't get the ball away as often. You know, he's keeping hold of, you know, contributing to the team, scoring crucial goals. You know, there's a brilliant potential world class player there if we can get it right. Just hope he continues in this vein.
So before the end, we could have made it four as well, couldn't we, Ben?
Yeah, we could have.
Naismith went.
Naismith. If his feet were in concrete, he would have buried that, but he just couldn't get his feet out, couldn't he? And the defender made a good challenge, to be honest.
That was asking too much of Everton, wasn't it?
To be fair, he hadn't just come on, but I think Lukaku gets that chance. It's the hat-trick, isn't it? You know, he buries that.
I think, it's anyone's shout for man of the match. There's a few, isn't there? But I personally would have given it to Lukaku because he looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
And that's the Lukaku that we know is in there.
Absolutely.
A lot of people would have said Ross Barkley for his influence as well. But, you know, don't get me wrong, Kone, Barry, Cleverley.
You could name everyone.
Stones, Jagielka. You could, though. You could. I thought Coleman, Galloway. John Stones and Jagielka was just...
You can't... Do you know what, we take it for granted? But they were just magnificent, weren't they? They just completely bricked up the Mersey Tunnel on that one.
Stones has thrown himself in front of everything, and he looks like he does it without breaking sweat.
I know.
Jagielka, maybe he's a bit more sweaty because he's getting on a bit now. He's sitting run ragged, but he get involved, heads, bodies, you just see.
The combination they have, they thrive off each other, don't they? You know, it doesn't... I remember Jags and Lescott were an excellent combination, weren't they? But Stones and Jags, just for me, look... It's a natural, like a natural fit when they play together. They know each other's games, don't they?
Inside. When you see them against Watford, a bit erratic, and what's going on? Yeah, you're not ready for the new season, but then I think
they're always capable of their moments. But then, you know, like we saw against Southampton, they got it in them to perform like that for 90 minutes. Just hope that they do it. You know,
I think every single one of them deserve praise of the manager as well for Saturday, don't they?
Without a doubt, the manager got his spot on. The players played exactly as we hoped.
Manager's reaction when that third goal went in said a lot. I think, you know, a lot of weight has been lifted off his shoulders. Yeah. He's been under a lot of pressure, really, I think, and rightly so, because he's been making people go bald for about 12 months with his decisions. But that's, you know,
it's been working fast with you, then, hasn't it?
Yeah, it tends to work faster than me more than most. But that sort of Fitbit that we attracted in July 2013 and he turned into a moaning I'll get is now sort of back to a level of hotness that, you know, hopefully he can maintain that all season.
That's one analogy you've never used, here, Mark.
Yeah, no, he turned up, you know, and everything looked sexy, and I'm okay.
But it looked like a swagger, though, didn't it? We played with a swagger,
to it,
we lost our mojo, now we look like we may have to have it back again.
Austin Powers has had it back, and it's just all we run everyone ragged now all season.
That's it. I think what was noticeable as well is... the whole feeling after the game amongst our fans, because there has been disparity amongst our fans, let's be honest, and we'll come to the protest again in a bit later, but the unity of the club and the seeing the fans at half time celebrating,
that
seeing them on the terraces.
Doing,
but you know, not just the Evertonians that were there, the Evertonians that are here as well, and celebrating the pubs and in their homes and on Twitter together. It was just nice to be united again for
one day, and it shows you, come rain or shine, you want the board out, you want the board in, you're not bothered. Come rain or shine, we all react the same way when that goal goes in. When we Everton play like that, there's not one Evertonian who's unhappy, or, you know, it's a natural feeling. It's just, you know, it was great. Like you said, I think we all deserved, after the stress of the summer, and everyone's felt it, that was like a proper sort of thank you from the players, wasn't it? Putting up with us. It was brilliant. I just hope there's more Saturdays like that, because then, you know, I can go and get like number 10 balloons and stuff, and we'll get the pace tables out. I'll be honest, hardly any cars come down this road.
You watch Match of the Day without having a meltdown.
It was good to take watching Match of the Day, wasn't it?
So we're fourth in the Premier League, boys.
Yeah, we are.
And we've got City, high flying City on Sunday, and then Spurs.
Yeah.
City, but, you know, no reason to fear City, have we?
No, not Goodison, certainly not. You know, we have a way of playing against them. Even last season, if you remember, we had a terrible season, but we played well against City at home and deserved.
We got the ball in
the ball draw that we got against them.
In the midst of a horrible run,
that show of character,
that result.
Same level of character is needed, but if we can keep this sort of little bit of arrogance that we've got going on up front, then. You know, City don't enjoy playing the Goodison Park so much, you know. Mm. You know, apart from when they help the sort of stop Liverpool winning the title. I don't know, you know, there's no imminent threat. So
they look slick, don't they, City? So that'll be a tough game, won't it, Ben?
Watching them yesterday, they were unbelievable against Chelsea. I mean, because it's been 3-0 up in the side 5 minutes against Chelsea. Mm. They were fantastic. It's going to be such a difficult game. But we raise our game against Man City. They don't like playing at Goodison. If we get our, you know, Barkley continues and Lukaku continues, there's two players definitely going to hit that back line. Definitely.
And after that, we've got Spurs, but not got off to the best start.
No, they tend to have the...
They remind me of us, but with loads of money.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? They really surprised me in the summer, the lack of... They haven't really done anything, have they, transfer-wise? The Kane's injured, Soldado's gone. So they're looking very sort of thin up front all of a sudden.
We'll just talk about that NG.
They got NG from the signing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. NG and Balassi.
Balassi.
The ones. But they like Everton, they're doing the business league. But they've always got a few quid spare. So, notoriously, they've gone out and spent, haven't they? Because they're like Everton had in the past, say, 10 years.
But they've just overtook us a bit, haven't they?
Yeah, they managed to get into the Champions League and that. But they're always sort of below the rivals, and I don't know, but they always have a lot of money and they go through a lot of managers and a lot of players, really.
Yeah.
Which isn't our model at all. But
no,
that'll be a tough game. It's televised again, is it? We're on the telly all the time.
I know. We're sort of sitting into the season's
level. The next seven games, the next eight.
Yeah, I think it's because they expect us to lose everyone. But maybe
got Barnsley as well.
Yes, I mean, how ridiculous was that? Saying Holgate on the same day. You know, everyone's talking about John Stones, and then sort of one of them weird footballing things that you end up joining Barnsley in the cup. Great away end from what I can remember in '89. It's the same away end, but no, Everton going to take 6-7.
We played in '97, didn't
we? I remember Sharps running at Oakwell in the cup, but no, it's going to be a great day, a great away end for the fans. You can take as many as you want down there.
Yeah,
it's like a Blackburn Rovers.
It's not too far away, neither, is it? So.
No, only Yorkshire. Yeah, so it's not.
So there's reasons to be cheerful, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, lads, what we'll do is we'll have a quick break then. We'll come back. We've got the protests to talk about.
Yeah.
The national media interest in the protest as well. Summer signings, or lack of them.
Yeah.
And a couple of other, any other business things, all right?
Fantastic.
I'll let you go and get the Chang. Or the equivalent, because we, you know, whatever you've got left. And we'll be back for part two in a minute.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.